From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley speaks with Andy Zare of Iowa State Student Services at the State FFA Convention in Ames. Andy is joined by Ryan Tiefenthaler from the latest episode of Pods of Potential, and Russ wraps up his conversation with Precision Planting's Caleb Schlater. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, we are back on a Tuesday, and boy, has the weather changed. Andy, I know you were doing planting yesterday, and we know there was a chance there was going to be some rain coming, and rain is falling here in central parts of the state here in Des Moines, and definitely going to give some of those crops a little bit of a good start there, but some of those storms could be strong. Thankfully, nothing really out of the ground yet, but still nothing we want to have to deal with too much, even if we are needing to get some of that rain.
Yeah, boy, you can certainly find without much effort some really dire predictions today as far as strong weather, large hail, tornadoes, that sort of thing. So far here in eastern Iowa, not a single drop of rain has fallen. I was surprised by that a little bit given the timelines and some of the forecasts. But with that said, everything is inside and protected. It's a pretty quiet day. Hoping Mother Nature will activate some residual in the herbicide and help some little soybean seeds maybe swell and begin to sprout a little bit faster. Interestingly enough, the crop progress report is out. It says from the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, sort of the official document, it says 4% of the state's corn crop has been planted. Saw some estimates from Pioneer agronomists around the state, and their numbers are a whole lot higher. In fact, in central Iowa, Dustin, Pioneer agronomists estimate that 31% of the corn crop has been planted, which is breakneck pace for this time of year. So it's certainly crazy and diverse, and there's been a lot of activity here early on. Into the marketplace we go to start off, as we always do on Iowa Ag Matters. Joe Camp from Comstock visiting now with Mark Magnuson to kick us off.
Joined today by Joe Camp of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Joe, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
A lower overnight trade here, a couple cents down for corn, three off for soybeans, about a nickel lower for Chicago wheat. Just a back and fill type of trade here. We've got some potential. Maybe we could turn around higher on this Tuesday. After a weaker start to the week, we don't have a lot of fresh fundamental input, unfortunately, for the bulls to go on here. You have the crop progress numbers out after the bell yesterday. We have no real alarm on the way this planting season is kicking off here. We've got the corn crop at 6% planted, of course, mainly from those states down south, Texas, moving the needle here. We'd expect, though, that looking forward, we're going to have a really big couple of weeks here ahead, and that we do have some rain in the mix starting later today and tonight. That'll be more welcomed moisture, and that's what these rains have been lately. Some small delay for early efforts in the Midwest, but ultimately thankful for that rain as we start off this new season. So we just don't look ahead and see anything that's too threatening at this point. And so we're left to trade back within the path of least resistance, which has been lower for so many months now. And that involves the speculators for now, at least, still leaning on the short side of these grains.
Also yesterday, Joe, how much did the overall geopolitical world situation play into what we saw in the ag marketplace based on what happened to the overall stock market?
Right, that was a big influence here to kick off the week, and there was a sense of relief, really, as we entered into this week that there wasn't a bigger escalation of the conflict in the Middle East than what we did observe over the weekend, which was Iran's attack against Israel, some 200 missiles launched, but Israel intercepting 99% of those, and really not the type of damage that maybe we had feared heading into the weekend. There's still that open threat here that Israel will retaliate, and that will kick off an even broader conflict in that region. And anytime you talk about Iran, you're going to want to watch the oil market, which has leveled off some of that risk premium exiting the market here at the start of the week. But again, still on the table that we've got to watch for that as an influence. And as you mentioned, how it might impact the stock market with all that's going on with these global security risks. We think that, you know, in some sense, it can be bullish like it was on Friday, where all of a sudden you just don't know what's going on or how trade flows could be disrupted or if oil is going to keep going higher, and that might be supportive to what we know could be a leader for the commodity space. But so far this week, cooler heads prevailing for the most part, and we're seeing some, again, exit of that related risk premium.
Well, we'll have more from Joe Camp of Comstock Investments coming up later on in the program. Right now, Andy Peterson's waiting to go with his three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
It was a busy week across the fields of Iowa, according to the weekly crop progress report from our friends at the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Office, where officials say there were 4.7 days suitable for field work.
Tillage, spraying, applying fertilizer, and seeding oats. Some corn and soybeans were also planted.
Yeah, 4% of the corn crop, according to statistician Melissa Couch. She says 22% of the oat crop has emerged. That's almost 2 weeks ahead of last year.
Number two.
Continuing to surge, exports of U.S. pork products continuing their robust growth in the first couple of months of 2024. According to new data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and compiled by our friends at the U.S. Meat Export Federation, they increased 10% in volume to 502,000 metric tons and some change, and 10% in value, $1.37 billion over the same period last year. As it was for all of 2023, Mexico was the top destination for U.S. pork in January and February.
Number one.
A whopping increase in the ability to domestically process soybeans underway, according to Grant Kimberly, Senior Director of Market Development with the Iowa Soybean Association.
We're seeing something we really haven't seen in 30 years, a massive increase in our soy processing capacity. Roughly 600 million bushels of additional soy processing capacity has been announced. Now, that may not all come to pass where we have all that be built out, but a good share of that is already been built here so far, and more will be built over the next couple of years.
He says for perspective, Iowa grows about 600 million bushels of soybeans every year, so the increase in capacity would be enough in 1 year to process the entire Iowa crop. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, I mentioned that there is a decent amount of the Iowa crop that's been planted into varying conditions. One of them may be green, which is something that would have been unheard of a few years ago, but the cover crop and planting green phenomenon is real. One of the experts is Ryan Tiefenthaler, and he's with us next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, the latest Pods of Potential is out here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, and of course, co-host here on Iowa Ag Matters, Andy Peterson, always in charge of doing those interviews. And Andy, what are we looking at this month?
Well, a great conversation with our friend Ryan Tiefenthaler from Breda Ag Service, progressive producer as well, in a lot of different markets, and Joe Webker from the Iowa Soybean Association. This part of the discussion focused on planting green.
Yeah, we have a few guys doing it, and it's working for them, and we've pushed that to a little bit of. We've tried some experiments of killing the rye on the second pass with beans, and you can do that. If guys are going to do that, I suggest that they start small in that and make sure that they can handle it. And you really start have to doing your work with the variety of soybeans that you're using. You're going to want something that's naturally bushy, because that rye is going to force them to grow straight and tall and get leggy on you. If you're not careful, they're gonna fall over later in the season. And we've been doing some relay cropping here too, so we've been dabbling with that and have some good success with that, or at least starting to have good success with it, where we're growing rye and soybeans at the same time, and we take the rye off, and then we come back and take the soybeans later in the year.
Mm-hmm. Do you have pest concerns with some of that stuff too? I suppose that depends on what Mother Nature may provide with armyworms and that sort of a threat depending on the growing season.
Yeah, we haven't had much problems with that, but I know there a couple years ago, the weather just worked out right, and there was just enough, you know, cover in some guys' fence lines and in other areas that armyworms became a problem. But it's kind of few and far between, and most people, if you do have a situation like that and you have agronomists out there, if you're checking your fields yourselves, can see that problem coming, and you can make a pesticide application typically in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that it needs to be, not sometimes, always needs to be part of an integrated cropping system of the planting green, the relay cropping and that sort of thing. And so that starting small, what is it? Jim O'Connell always jokes about putting it in the back 40 where nobody can see it. Right. Yeah, I mean, but it really is an adjustment, I guess, of finding sequences and stuff that all fit.
Yeah, it takes a lot more planning. It's not going to be you buy the corn and the beans and you put them in the shed and you put them in the field, spray them a couple times and combine it and forget about it. It's going to require a lot more planning and a little bit more research on the varieties and the stuff that you're using if you want to do a full green year-round type of a cropping system.
And so someone might say, okay, then why, right? If it's harder or it takes more planning, so why do you do it?
Well, I think it's better for the soil. And then I think in like the relay cropping situation, where you're growing two crops at the same time, we're just utilizing that ground to its max potential and, you know, getting better revenue off of that versus one crack at it for the year. And I'm not saying one way is right or wrong. I'm just trying to, you know, kick over all the stones that are there.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, and you can find more of that Pod's Potential podcast on your favorite podcasting service or our website at iowaagnet.com. We go around the state and your cash grain prices with Dustin is straight ahead.
It's time to run down some elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. Not seeing a lot of change, but what change we have seen is drastic. The problem is it's about 50% higher and 50% lower. Let's take a look at where the numbers are. Well, at ADM Burlington, they're a nickel under on corn today, 425. Soybeans 12 cents under at 1146. At Cargill Eddyville, they're a dime over on corn, cash bid $4.40. Nuco Op Algona, a nickel over on corn, 435. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1103. Ag State Sheldon, 18 cents over on corn. They're at 448. Soybeans, 65 cents under at 1093. Ag State Elta, 9 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 421. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1103. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 22 cents over on corn. They're at 452. Soybeans are even today with a cash bid, 1158. Nexus Co-op in Marble Rock. They're 15 cents over on corn, 445. Soybeans, 45 cents under. They're at 1113. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 15 cents over on corn, cash bid 445. ADM Des Moines, 8 cents under on corn, cash bid 1150. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, 425. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1108. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn, cash bid 420. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1108. New Co-op Sheraton, 22 cents under on corn, 408. Soybeans, 55 cents under, cash bid 1103. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 8 cents under on corn, 422. Soybeans, 35 cents under at 1123. New Co-op Glidden, a nickel over on corn, cash bid 435. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1108. Innovative Ag Farley, 3 cents over on corn, 433. Soybeans, 39 cents under. They have a cash bid of $11.19. And at Cargill and Muscatine, they're 4 cents under on corn today, $4.26. Soybeans, 11 cents under. That cash bid is $11.47. Just a reminder, the cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's a check of the basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. We'll have that for you. Don't forget about the free market podcast with analysis sent right to your mobile device 3 times a day. You can find those on Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean, or on our website, iowaagnet.com. More Iowa Ag Matters still coming up.
Well, as we see some just incredible planting progress numbers from our friends at Pioneer in a short period of time, just have to marvel at what technology has allowed farmers to do. And our friends at Precision are a large part of that. You think about the number of seeds precisely placed at a high rate of speed, like 8.5-9 miles an hour. It's just amazing. And it's happening. And there's more developments. Part two now of our special correspondent, Russ Parker's conversation with Caleb Schlater from Precision.
And what about data interface? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we also brought to market what's called Panorama. So Panorama is our data platform that essentially connects to our 2020. Now, we're approaching it a little bit differently than when you hear data platform. We're approaching it just a little bit different because we believe that the insight and the information is so important that we're opening it up and we want to share with others. And so we've had awesome partnerships when we talk about an API connection. We've had awesome partnerships with John Deere and FieldView, the climate side of things. They've come together. They said, hey, we want to make sure we're bettering that experience for the grower to where we can bring that data into the platform of their choice. So Panorama will collect that data and then place it into that API or API it into OpsCenter or Climate Field View. But that data itself, that is what allows us to really get some key insights, because now we can say, all right, we have really good yield here every other year, and when we're looking at our corn planting, why is that good yield here and not here? Or we had a year where we missed. Why did we miss? We can then go and take it back to the planter performance, the sprayer performance, and see what are the things that we can do to get better the next season. What are the things that we can make sure we're watching in order to see that yield gain.
So what do you see coming down the pike? What are you guys thinking about?
Oh, we're always thinking about new and interesting things. There's a lot that's on our mind, especially when we start thinking about sprayer technology. And there's some really key things. We start talking about cameras and the ability to see things that are coming in the field and being able to map those out and make sure we're making the right management decisions there. And then right behind me is what we call Radical. Radical is, for me, is one of the most amazing things that we have brought to market. It is a completely automated lab for soil sampling. And so we have the full system to where you have GeoPress, which is a way to collect the soil, and then you have the soil sampling that's done in a lab that is obviously we have it here on the lot. It's not that large. It's all automated, and it doesn't get touched by human hands to give us more consistent, accurate information that we can then take back and build our scripts off of and really make an impact to our individual operations.
So what are your thoughts about delivering different hybrids in the same planter? Are you guys looking into that?
So we actually have several products that allow us to do that. Whether it's the defensive or the offensive hybrid, we have two products. There's VSET Select, which is 2 meters that allow you to pull from 2 different seed pools and place those seeds where you design it. Or we have MSET. MSET has a gate inside the hopper, which is turning off and on and allowing the defensive hybrid or the offensive hybrid to be placed in. The reason we use MSET is for high-speed planting as well. So you can actually pair MSET with SpeedTube, so you could be doing multi-hybrid planting at 7, 8, 10 mile an hour if you would like to.
And I'm assuming that this is all interfacing with what's going on from the operator's seat.
That's right. That's right. Everything is then controlled and sensed with the 2020. So you have all the control you need. You have all the insight you need in order to make the right decisions as you're moving through the field.
Well, Caleb, there are some pretty cool things going on in precision planting, and I appreciate sharing. If a farmer wants to get some more information, what's the first step?
The first step I would tell you is go find your local precision planting premier dealer. They're the best resource. They really are. They're the trusted advisor for us on our operation. They're the ones that have helped us take the next step and learn how we can get better. And if you don't know who your dealer is, what I would recommend is going to precisionplanting.com. We have a dealer locator on there. Type in your area code, find that dealer near you, and they're going to be a really good resource to you and your operation.
Well, we thank Russ for that information here and learning some new stuff from precision planting. Right now, Andy Peterson is ready to go. He's got the second round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Getting better at fertilizer sustainability. According to the Fertilizer Institute, which released new data highlighting industry improvement in sustainability, performance of workforce safety, energy, and the environment, fertilizer use, and industry innovation. Now, participating members reported a total of 25 zero-discharge facilities at which all wastewater is recycled. And get this, farmers in the U.S. have a nitrogen use efficiency of 70%, which is much higher than the world average of just 55%.
Number two.
It was a busy week across the fields of Iowa, according to the weekly crop progress report from our friends at the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Office, where officials say there were 4.7 days suitable for field work.
Tillage, spraying, applying fertilizer, and seeding oats. Some corn and soybeans were also planted.
Yeah, 4% of the corn crop, according to statistician Melissa Couch. She says 22% of the oat crop has emerged. That's almost 2 weeks ahead of last year.
Number one.
A whopping increase in the ability to domestically process soybeans underway, according to Grant Kimberly, Senior Director of Market Development with the Iowa Soybean Association.
We're seeing something we really haven't seen in 30 years, a massive increase in our soy processing capacity. Roughly 600 million bushels of additional soy processing capacity has been announced. Now, that may not all come to pass where we have all that be built out, but a good share of that is already been built here so far, and more will be built over the next couple of years.
He says 4%. Perspective, Iowa grows about 600 million bushels of soybeans every year, so the increase in capacity would be enough in 1 year to process the entire Iowa crop. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, I'm looking at some video here, Dustin, of a high-speed planter, 8.5-9 miles an hour. And to think about the ability to place, 35,000 seeds equally spaced at a consistent 2.5 to 3 inch depth at 9 miles an hour is incredible. I guess I haven't run the numbers on how many seeds per second that is across the 24-row planter, but what this stuff can do is unlike ever before, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely upping the game, and with more acres to plant and sometimes shorter weather windows to get it done, we need every advantage we can get. So we'll definitely take those advantages when they're presented. Well, coming up next, we got a check of the market's midday numbers. Mark and Andy, they're going to be looking at the grain and livestock. Coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing for our Midday Market discussion. John, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today?
Well, we got mostly lower grain trade today, with really the only exception out there is hard red spring wheat and, or the Minneapolis wheat. Corn futures trading a couple pennies down, beans down about a dime or so. I guess two biggest things going, we're really just trying to find some bullish news. There isn't any. And obviously, we got crop progress last night, corn planting at 6%, a little bit above the five-year average. Watching the weather system working through the Midwest this week, probably providing some beneficial moisture to some areas that need it. Then we'll see things how things dry out from there, and the producers can really get going and get this crop off to a good start. Add in there also right now, we're getting close to the end of April. We're up past the midway point. This comes that window where, again, we start seeing those basis contracts for May become the next focal point here. Again, the market's going to be looking at the weaker longs. The producers have to make decisions whether to roll those or price those, and they could be sellers in this marketplace. So typically we do trend ourselves a little lower into the end of April. Soybeans, again, same type of downward trend. We're seeing continued weakness in both the soybean oil, soybean meal markets today. So that's weighing on the bean market.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Mark, we start with daily estimated cattle slaughter numbers, 121,000 head. Same as a week ago and 1,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are mixed here at midday, with Select down $4.20 on 22 loads of movement to $291.34. Choice at $300.88, that's 31 cents higher. 53 loads of sales there, so a fairly light run, and the spread jumping, as you might imagine, to $9.54. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers showing at midday 488,000 head. That's 22,000 more than a week ago, 23,000 more than a year ago. On to the cash markets. Yesterday's closes for comparison purposes. Barrels and gelds, producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, only 1,618 head of sales, so very light day. Weighted average price down 89 cents to $85.71. Formula purchases, a big number, 183,000 head. So all the sales, or most of them at least, were of the formula variety. Weighted average price, $89.64. Market was up 92 cents. As far as what's happening at midday today, about the same number of negotiated purchases, over 1,600 head of sales. Weighted average price, $86.14. So that market is down $2.45. Formula purchases, the price at $90.83, so we jumped another $1.40 on 104,000 head of sales.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn is down 1 1/4 at 4:30 1/4. May soybeans down 10 3/4 at 11:47 1/2. On the Merck, June live cattle up $1.37 at $175.20. May feeder cattle up $2.47 at $240.47. May lean hogs unchanged at $94.32. May pork cutout up 15 cents at $101.40. And Class 3 milk up 40 cents at $17.26. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
On we go with the market discussion here on Iowa Ag Matters, focusing on the livestock trade, which has certainly been volatile, to say the least. Joe Camp returning from Comstock, visiting with Mark Magnuson.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what is happening in the livestock complex?
The reverse of grains, in the sense that last week we've closed really strong on the grains. We've given that back here at the start of the week, while last week we closed really on weak footing for the cattle in particular, and now here Monday, a really strong rebound to show for the start of the new week. Maybe some easing of the worries related to the avian influenza risk here. It's still going to be an issue that we've got to monitor as different states stack up these movement restrictions, but I think we're ultimately back to focusing on the fundamentals of tight fed cattle supply and strong demand. You see that in the slaughter rate still being tight, but yet robust beef prices and a pretty good draw from consumers here as we kick off the summer season just ahead. And hogs, they're looking like they're correcting lower after they had such a strong run here. But it's like cattle where they've got a pretty strong demand fundamentals overall and tightening supplies here going forward.
So is that good news for the hog market, at least in the longer term sense, Joe, because they are just basically on better footing right now?
It does seem like we've still got a price in this overall reset for the industry, which has been responding to, you know, up until the start of this year, relatively lower prices, tough operating environment for those producers. And that's what showed up here lately and reduced farrowing intentions. So we'll have a smaller pig crop that ultimately will produce less pork here heading into the latter half of this year. And that at a time when, again, we're not slowing down on pork consumption, whereas beef prices, you know, recently contributed some almost 8% of the upside for the consumer price index. Pork prices were about flat on the year, and good domestic consumer demand is still being complemented by almost record export usage as well. So that's the bullish part of the hogs.
How should our listeners get in touch for more marketing information with Comstock?
Yeah, access to our Comstock report, all of our contact information up at comstock.com.
Lots of resources from the team at Comstock. Joe, thank you for the time here on Tuesday. Appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your week.
Hey, you as well. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you next time.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, of course, the state FFA convention going on now at Iowa State University, and Riley Smith was up there and talking with the folks at Iowa State about the importance of the college hosting the meeting every year, the competitions every year, and the great chance it is for the kids to learn more about what they're doing, get more growth, personal and professional growth, and, of course, network with the people who are going to be a part of their professional lives in the years to come. We'll have more. Riley Smith has that coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters. Well, as we said, Iowa State FFA convention going on right now at the ISU campus in Ames. Riley Smith was up there to talk with the folks and why it's important to have this convention and this competition held every year at Iowa State University.
So we are here at Iowa State University in the Scheman Building. Of course, this is Iowa FFA Convention Week. Talking with Andy Zare, Student Services at Iowa State University. Andy, as you know, every year now we're talking about a FFA convention and having all the kids out here. Of course, always a great time to have those members out, right?
Oh, exactly. This is the best time of year for us to have a lot of students on campus getting used to what the field of agriculture has to offer, especially in higher ed. Getting them into some facilities maybe while they're on campus, getting them competing and meeting other FFA members. So it's a great networking opportunity and a great way to celebrate agriculture.
So, of course, I think a big thing just from physically looking at campus is there's a lot of change right now. I mean, you get off the interstate, you can see the new vet diagnostics lab. You get to the parking lot, and the whole main parking lot has been uprooted for new renovations there. I mean, you can see the new parking lots there as well. So, you know, like you said, a great time to have these students here, because lots of new and improved things are going on here at Iowa State.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's always something cooking up, I think, on campus. And I think for a lot of our FFA members, it might be their first time to campus or it might be their third, you know. And the same thing goes with our alumni who are agricultural teachers on campus. It's always great for them to refamiliarize themselves with what we have to offer. And it can help them to bring some of that into the classroom as well.
Right. And just having all those students, like you said, on campus, you know, we always talk about the future leaders of the ag industry. That's those FFA members, and to have them on campus. We're here at one of the top ag schools, if not the top ag school in the country. I mean, they're getting hands-on experience, which is huge in FFA, of seeing exactly what it's like here, the facilities, and what the university has to offer.
Yeah, 100%. Again, that's the goal, is to get them here, get them experiencing some things, and then building on that experience to build some confidence, some leadership skills, some communication skills. They really get to accomplish all of that, and FFA is just the introduction to that. It's the initial entry point, but if they liked FFA, they're going to love their Iowa State experience.
And, of course, here as well, we have the contest going on the other side of the building. And I mean, what an experience for that as well, because, you know, you get to see, you know, let's talk about the students getting to see firsthand. The university gets to see firsthand what these students are capable of.
Oh, 100%. In fact, there's a lot of university employees representing our different departments that serve as judges in those roles. And I can tell you with certainty that it's every single year I'm hearing from somebody saying, hey, there's this student from this chapter that just did an amazing job in whatever competition. And they keep an eye on those folks. They develop those relationships and they keep up with them. And I always think that that's kind of the cool side benefit that you get at an event with 6,000 students, that an academic advisor comes back and says, hey, remember this one student. That's pretty awesome.
And I'm sure you've seen the impact of FFA through the programs at Iowa State, right? Seeing those students come through?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, a lot of students come in and this was their initial entry point, but by the time they're done with their FFA experience, they're comfortable with campus and they're getting to know it. And I also see students like my own who's in an FFA chapter, but he's not from a traditional farming background. I'm an Iowa State employee and not a farmer, right? And so his experience and exposure to agriculture is through the eyes of an FFA chapter or through the eyes of what he sees in terms of the scientists on campus. And it's a great way for him to see how big this industry is and what the opportunities look like.
And of course, let's talk a little bit too about tours going on here on campus. Just, you know, what are those students able to see here through those tours? And I guess, what are you hoping they take away from that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot to offer. I mean, some of the most popular ones are Jack Trice Stadium, where our turf grass management faculty show them how they maintain an athletic field. And that's very different from a BioCentury research farm facility, where we're talking about alternative uses for crops and making things like asphalt out of renewable resources that Iowa farmers could potentially grow. And meat lab tours, seeing where meat comes from and how we study how to make safe meat products and things like that. So there's a really wide variety, and what I hope that our students take away from that is, if you have an interest in agriculture, there's so many things that maybe you didn't think of on first blush besides, you know, your traditional row crop farming that you could do in the agricultural industry. And we hope that showing them things like Jack Trice and the BioCentury Research Farm inspires them to think bigger than what they currently think about the ag industry.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Wow, just like that, we're out of time on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. Thanks so much for joining us here, and be safe, of course, as the days start to get long and maybe a bit monotonous during planting season here. Maybe a bit of a pause today isn't the worst thing in the world if that's what's happening as well. Thanks to Dustin and Riley and Mark, as well as you, for joining us on Iowa Ag Matters. See you tomorrow.